he didn't, there was no moments on earth where he was like, let me just override these feelings that I have. Mm-hmm. Let me just override this physical pain that I had. When he was on the cross, he could have been like, yo, I'm God.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have to feel this.
Several times.
I can literally super, I can override this. Multiple times. And be like, I don't want to feel, I don't have to deal with that. Right. I'm not dealing with that.
Because they asked him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, he chose not to override what you said. Yeah. Like, he chose not to do that.
And they offered to
him. Welcome to A Christian Podcast. The podcast where we have Christ-centered conversations. I'm your host, Kevin Wilson.
So, a lot of us have heard the Trinity being referenced, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. For the sake of this episode, I'm going to assume that we don't know anything about this at all. Now, I want to be clear that this isn't remotely possible to fully explain this. I could make a podcast solely dedicated to just one element, one person of the Trinity, and we still wouldn't even scratch the surface, right? So consider this an introduction or a reintroduction for some, but this is not a full-fledged, I can't, in this one episode, we can't fully break down the Trinity. And so I could literally, for the rest of our days, explain who God is, and we could still not even scratch the surface. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, how great God's riches in wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways." And so we want to introduce this. It's very important to know, but we're not giving you a full in-depth, like everything you, there's so much more. So please, as we say in all episodes, go to the Word of God and go to God's Word to understand who he is. So ironically, the term Trinity is not used in the Bible, right? Like a lot of people, you know, you look for it, you won't find Trinity in the Bible. But the term comes from a Latin word, Trinitas, which in combination of the word Trias, which means three, and Unitas, which means unity. So in other words, the term Trinity is used to make sense of both the unity and the distinction between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit exist as three co-equal persons, co-equal and coexisting, meaning there's one God that exists in three persons, mm-hmm. not three gods. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father are all actively present.
Yes.
Jesus don't stop being Jesus to be the Father.
Right.
And so that's very important to know. Mm-hmm. And they're all the same in essence, but different in role.
Roles.
Right?
Come
on. So I got this from Preston Perry. He breaks it down. He does it so smooth. His is great. Go check out Preston Perry on Instagram or YouTube at Bold TV or Apologetics with Preston Perry. But he talks about this idea of essence, right? Meaning in existence, right? So can y'all name a powerful person, just a super powerful person on earth?
Alive or dead?
Alive. Or dead, I don't know. Anybody.
In ministry? Or just a person?
No, just a powerful human being.
Beyonce.
Beyonce, right? So, Beyonce, would you say, has more power than you? Can she do more things than you?
Okay, for the sake of this conversation, I guess I'm entertaining to say, yeah.
Do you, like, does she have more influence? How about that?
Yes.
Does Beyonce have more influence than you?
Yes.
Right? So Beyonce is more influential than you, Lex, right? Mm-hmm. Beyonce is not more of a human being or greater of a human being than you are. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So in essence, you guys are the same. In influence, you're different. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with the Godhead and the Trinity. They have the same power. They have the same they roll and the way they operate is different.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Let me take a breath because that was a lot. With all of that being said, let's just have a conversation about the Trinity and how that affects us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Holy Spirit, let's start there. Because I feel like Holy Spirit is probably the most misunderstood person of the Trinity. So, Rael, talk about who Holy Spirit is to you and your discovery of him.
Okay.
Because how you know him now is not how you knew him at some point. You might not have never known him at some point or not known him at some point.
Right. So make it plain. Holy Spirit is the helper. Holy Spirit was released to the earth, if I'm correct, when Jesus left when Jesus died. He is the gift. Holy Spirit Lord, let's not go deep. But Holy Spirit, he's a helper. He's a friend. He is the gift to us to lead us, to be that still small voice. And we can go deeper into that. But I'm just going to leave that where that's at. Holy Spirit's helper. He's friend. He's always present as long as we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay. And how did I come upon the Holy Spirit? As I grew in my faith, obviously. As I grew and I knew that if I understand God as Father and I understand Jesus, who he is, I have to, it goes back to what we were saying prior to the whole Bible. We can't just exclude Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit is important. Holy Spirit is very needed for us. So when I came upon the Holy Spirit, it really just came upon me just learning more, reading more in my prayer life. And honestly, prayer is obviously very important to me. And so with Holy Spirit, you know, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, which leads into, you know, spiritual tongues.
Yeah.
So as I began to learn more about prayer, I wanted more of Holy Spirit. So that's how I came, just more knowledge naturally and wanting to grow more. In my prayer life. Yeah. Okay.
No, that's great. And just a scripture, like you said, when he was released in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But like even like in scripture, we see that all three members were there from the beginning. Like they existed. Even before the earth did, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters. So even before we were here, Holy Spirit was here. Jesus was here. And like you were saying, Real, you did a great job explaining. Like Holy Spirit is a person. That's very important.
Yeah.
Because like when we hear Spirit. Or ghost, Holy Ghost, it can seem kind of like impersonal almost, like to our natural mind. We hear spirits and ghosts, we think of like, that's just how we think, right?
Yeah. No legs floating.
But he's a person.
Yeah.
And so when we understand and treat him like that, it makes a difference. Like he's with us.
Yeah.
He's the advocate. He's the helper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that like it's very important.
Oh yeah.
Because when you pray, you ask Holy Spirit to help you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
God in all forms is God, but they each have their distinct roles.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like I don't necessarily ask Holy Spirit to provide for me, right? Because that is the role of the Father to provide, right? I will ask Holy Spirit to show me how to make best decisions, how to obtain provision, how to pray even for
you better work
provision.
This is
tough. And first of all, I want to say this is extremely tough to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Because we can spend years and years and years understanding God, but like I said, we can't fully ever understand him. And so even to articulate him, even to articulate who he is extremely tough. And so, yeah, Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Now we're going to go. I know Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's the order, but we can do Holy Spirit.
You do the Son and the Father. Oh, okay.
Father.
Yeah,
we're just flowing, y'all. We don't have no script. We just flowing. Okay. Father. Because I'm just, yeah, Father. Who did I give that to?
Tari.
Give it to me.
Tari. Mm. Just break down who the Father is. And you can point off of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Don't feel like you have to exclude them in your explanation. But just talk about, like, the role of the Father.
Yeah, so God the Father is supreme, and he is the one from which all things created came from. And we see a lot of content in the Word about God the Father in the Old Testament before he sent his son Jesus so that we could have relationship through him. And all three persons of the Godhead are holy, but because God is holy, he had to send his son Jesus on our behalf.
Yeah.
God is who often I feel like today in society, like it's everybody's comfort zone of there being a God.
Yeah.
Where are you going to go?
Can you explain that?
A lot of people, they want to believe that there is a supreme being, a higher power. I feel like the concept of God is something that is easily digestible for people versus like the Trinity as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, God. But then the moment you start saying Jesus as Lord, it's like the tension, you know, or even much, you know, the Holy Spirit, like, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but God is supreme.
Yeah.
And it's, he is... It's so hard to describe without going into all three, but he created he created the foundations of the world. He is, he's the one that often for me personally, before I came to even understand the Godhead, I always said Heavenly Father, and this is like I didn't grow up in church, so like, but it's just like I said, I feel like we're easily able to digest there being God, you know, as supreme, like Heavenly Father. He is our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about him being merciful, you know, and we see all that displayed through the sending of his son, Jesus, and all that. So.
That was great.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Father, yes, God is kind of like, we summarize the Trinity into the term God, right? I have a hat on and it's to the back so you can't see it, and it says Jesus is the GOAT. Jesus is the greatest of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I first wrote the design, I wrote God. God is the GOAT, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I changed it to Jesus specifically because I'm like, there are people that call, that say the term God, and they're not referring to our God. They're not referring to Emmanuel. They're not referring to Yahweh. Mm-hmm. They're referring to this force in the air that they call God that's not the God that we serve.
Nope.
And so the term God is kind of used almost, it can be used as a summary. And so that's why I make sure as often as possible to use the term either the Father God, or I say Jesus because we know that is our Lord and Savior.
Right.
Right? When you say Jesus, you're not thinking no other... You know, nothing other. They're not calling their gods Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, other people that of the world that do this and that, they might refer to, I believe there is a God, they say, a God, Jesus Christ, right? So I think that's very important just to distinguish the two because they do get lumped up together. And I think that perfectly points us to Jesus. Go ahead, Lex.
Jesus.
See, look how his Holy Spirit just.
Just bring it back around. Jesus. Well, I mean, you just said, you know, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So like Tari said, you know, God is the Father, and he sent his son Jesus to earth. So like Real was saying, you know, Jesus left us the gift of Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is God made in the flesh, Holy Spirit in the flesh. Jesus came to the earth sent by God as a perfect human being, joint between being fully God and also fully man. And he came to be the payment for our sins. And when we talk about our sins, we're talking about things that literally just separate us from the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So Jesus came so that we can still be present with God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus came so that we, well, we're not worthy, but so that we can have what we're unworthy of, which is Holy Spirit and heaven on earth and heaven and eternal life and abundant life and all that. Jesus is who we first look to for teachings of how to do things, to pray, how to, so many things. You know, Jesus is the first thing that pretty much people are introduced to when being saved, because he is the access point for being saved. Jesus is the person that you must, acknowledge as Lord and Savior, and believe as Lord and Savior for yourself to be considered saved, because there's only one way to God, which is through Jesus.
Right.
So I could say so much more, but I'll just leave it there.
Skip.
But it brought me to the verse from Matthew 7:21, where, you know, people just like want to group God and everything like that, but not accepting Jesus for who Jesus is and his role. For one, he's the advocate. You know what I'm saying? Like, anytime we do anything, like, Jesus, like, all right, come on, you know what I'm saying? God, you know, give him a break. You know, they had a bad day today. You know, but it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, of my Father in heaven. So I think that's important to be like, I can't have no access just believing in God.
Right. And that's why we say, like, God, Jesus is the one and only begotten Son. Like, I'm a son of God, right? But Jesus was literally God in the flesh. He was the only one that was actually of the same nature as God.
Right.
Like, Philippians 2 says, 2 verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
That scripture changed everything for me.
So when I read this, right, this is going to help us, like, this is Jesus. This is going to help you understand Jesus. He is God. Jesus is God. Somebody has a shirt. It might be Preston Perry that says Jesus is God, and he gets a lot of controversy about it because there's people that don't believe in the Trinity. There are Christians that are non-Trinitarian that don't actually believe in the Trinity, which I'm not going to go down that hole. But the Trinity, like, it shows us he is God. Right? They're not... So he is God in the flesh, because some people are like, no, he's, it says that he humbled himself to death. I don't know about y'all. I consider myself a fairly humble person. Even if I wanted to, I can't humble myself to death. I'm not above death. He was above himself and had to make himself beneath death. All right. So he's God. And I actually want to read the rest. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory. I didn't even know why I was reading the rest. To the glory of God the Father.
Yep.
So you see them two, both of them together right there.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is acknowledged to the glory of the Father, his Father, our Father, right?
That verse right there. Can you imagine every single person has to bow?
Right.
They have to bow. Yeah. Ain't no choice.
In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. I feel like we forget that part.
Say that again, Tari.
What'd you say?
In heaven, on earth, and under the earth.
We do skip it out.
I think
I said that to somebody.
I think
I might have said that to Lex one day. I was like, we skip that part.
We do skip that part. Yeah.
And that's important.
It's very important.
Every knee.
That's a lot
of knees. That was my favorite scripture when I first started learning about the supernatural. That was my favorite scripture. Yeah. I was like, all right.
It's still my favorite.
This right here, this mess is crazy.
Every single person.
One part of that scripture, whenever it says to the glory of God, Jesus constantly references God getting the glory and it not being his will and it not being for him and it not being about him. Like, obviously it's about Jesus because Jesus is God, but like,
it's God, about his Father.
Right there, dude.
Yeah.
Father? Jesus.
I got it.
My Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my God. About to get stirred up in here.
I know.
It don't take much.
It was just so crazy how much he loves. Like, it just goes back to where, like, literally when the Lord showed me three glowing doves, and I ran in the house and I called my papa. And I said, Papa, what does this mean? And he said, it means the Father, it means the Son, and it means the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Man. That's good.
That's
good.
Like, God really, he accounted for every single thing that we could ever possibly need.
Period.
And you know what's crazy? Thank you. Perfect time. I was about to read the scripture, but it was almost going to be premature because you didn't say what you said, bro. John 1. We know this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Keep in mind, if you're not reading this, Word is capitalized, W, because the Word is Jesus.
Yeah.
He is the Word.
The Word made flesh.
I am.
I'm going to read this twice. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm going to read that again and substitute Word for Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning.
Oh, God.
So... This is when it says the beginning, it doesn't say the beginning of the earth. It says the beginning.
The beginning. So there you go.
Of anything, right?
That's it.
Oh. So, Rel, going back to what you said, when you think about, wow, like, God created the answer before we knew we had a problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus is the Savior, right? Because of what happened in Genesis. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, right? Mm-hmm. That was our issue.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had already been there, though.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wasn't created like, oh, dang, Adam and Eve did this, so let me create Jesus to be the Savior.
Right.
God created a form of himself.
Yeah.
The Father God created a form of himself at the beginning because he knew what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew we needed a solution.
Because he makes no mistakes. My God.
Seated at the right hand of the Father.
Oh, my God.
And so, that's it.
Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus.
And so let me continue. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind.
Whew.
We can stop there.
Mm-hmm.
We won't, but
in
we can stop there.
In him was life.
And that life was
what? The light of mankind.
The light of mankind.
You said in him was light, and that light.
And that light was the light of mankind.
And to know that the God of the universe that's described as such, but not even limited to that,
come on,
wants a personal, intimate relationship with every single one of us blows my mind. Like,
can you read that scripture one more time?
I'm sorry. You want me to start from the top?
Yeah.
All right. John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word, Jesus, was with God. And the Word, Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, Mm-hmm. And that life was the light of mankind. So Jesus, somebody said this and it was like, when I first heard it, I was like, huh? Jesus created the world. Father created the world. Holy Spirit created the, they all created.
Yeah.
They all were there.
And it supports, your statement is supported by the scripture, let us.
Let us.
Yep.
In Genesis.
Right.
Yes.
My Lord Jesus.
I want to show another scripture where we see all three at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you love me, this is John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. And this is Jesus speaking, by the way. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Helper is capitalized. Helper is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I want to read this in a different translation as well, because I think certain translations, I think it's very important to read different translations when you read, because some of them, just the way they're written, they just make it, they make it make more sense, right?
Right.
And so that was actually the New King James Version, right? But I'm going to read NIV. This is John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. This is Jesus saying, if you love me, do as I say. And if you do as I say, I will ask my Father, Father Jesus, to give you another advocate to help you, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. Mm. Some people, like, they don't believe, but it's like, if you read it, it's there.
Right.
Like, all three. And it is giving you distinct roles. Jesus, Father, let me go from the top. I will ask the Father. Father, and he will give you. He's a provider. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm asking the Father to do.
Come on.
Right? Jesus is asking things on our behalf.
Come on. This is good.
Right? Jesus is asking us things on our behalf, and I will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Holy Spirit.
That's
good. So whenever you need help, there are times at church, I joked about this the other day. At my church, one of the roles I have is a production coordinator, right? I also have another role. And at this particular moment, somebody needed help in one of the departments that I was serving in, and somebody needed help in another. So they're both asking me, this is in the middle of a Sunday, and the girl says, how do I do this? I say, I'm going to be honest, I actually don't know. Ask Holy Spirit and he will help you. Mm. And she I was kind of smiling when I said it, but I was serious and she knew I was serious. And so I literally left because I was like, I really didn't know the information that she was asking me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Holy Spirit will help you. Mm-hmm. And he did. And like, Holy Spirit's the helper, right? So I can say, God help me, which he can, God will. But it's different when I call personally on the person of Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you need. It's like if you. Right. Okay. If you got two parents, right? Mm-hmm. Your mommy, dad, they do different things, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I need to talk to my mom about certain stuff, right? Sometimes I need to talk to my dad about certain stuff because I have a different relationship with them. They are two different people. Mm-hmm. They're both my parents. They both support me and act in the same role. Mm-hmm. But I just wouldn't call my mom and talk about sports.
Yeah.
Would she do her best to help me understand? Yes. But I'm going to call my dad because we can talk about this, right? Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, God can do everything. The Father can do everything, right? Let's not get it twisted. But if he literally in this, he will send a spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be with you. Mm-hmm. If he did the work of sending his spirit to be with us, why would we not pray to him and be with him and let him help us?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So I went on a rant there. I just realized I talked about probably like 10 minutes straight. So anytime I talk for too long, I'll be like, I got to ask a question now. How have you seen your knowledge of the Trinity transform your life? Transform your life. I'm not going to make it more specific. I will give you a direction that you could go in just to make it more tangible. Prayer life. That's one area that the Trinity and the knowledge of the Trinity deeply affects.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. It's prayer life.
Take your time. We ain't rushing. We flowing. I don't want you. Go ahead, Tari.
I've said this before, but the way that my relationship with God, and by God I mean like God, the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit evolved was, I noticed like person of the Godhead to person. So like, it started off with me really coming to understand God, like in a very, like almost like as a friend, but a friend that would never leave, like a friend that was always there to comfort. I knew he was my father, but like the way I experienced him was like a friend. And now I'm in a relationship, like in this season of my walk with Christ, I know him deeper as Lord. And so it's like that kind of changes the way I perceive my life. It changes the way I pray. And I know for me, the person of Jesus is always something that I don't know. It's like when I came to really understand the person of Jesus and the fact that Jesus, that scripture I said, literally changed everything for me. And again, I think it would change a lot of people's relationship with God if they knew it.
Yeah.
The fact, because what really hindered me as somebody that didn't really know the word like that when I came into my relationship with God, I was like, oh, well, of course Jesus could die on the cross. He's God. Like that really, like, it didn't hit home for me. And it's just the truth. But like, I was like, I'm grateful, but of course he was able to do that. He's God.
Yeah.
Until that scripture where he didn't cease to be God, but he humbled himself.
Yep.
And so that means that he took on the role of a human, human emotions, all those things. He decided to do that. Yeah. God, the Father, decided to send Jesus in the flesh.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
In the flesh. Jesus. So that means that Jesus experienced the same caliber of emotions that we do.
That changed everything
for my walk with Christ. Because in the scripture that we do not have a high priest that doesn't empathize with our weaknesses. That means that when people say God gets, no, he really does. And so that changed my vulnerability in prayer. That changed my ability to actually understand that he understands. Like so often we hear people say like God gets it, but when you truly understand the word, it's stuff there that affirms that and makes it even more, I used this word before, it makes it even more potent. Yeah. Like that scripture literally did, it changed my prayer life because I was no longer going in prayer where there was a small part of my heart that was like, but you're God.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you this, but you're God.
Yeah.
Like it changed my prayer life because I said, no, you actually understand my emotions better than I do because you embodied them on earth. So
and
that
wow.
I
you rule them.
And you rule them at the same time. That is the epitome of sovereignty.
And created them. My God.
Yeah.
Because it said like you said, he felt everything. Mm-hmm. Jesus went through everything we went through. Right. Because it says, like we were just at in Philippians 2:6, I think, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Another translation says, a thing to be grasped. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. Like, he didn't, there was no moments on earth where he was like, Let me just override these feelings that I have. Mm-hmm. Let me just override this physical pain that I had. When he was on the cross, he could have been like, yo, I'm God.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have to feel this.
Several
times. I can override this.
Multiple
and be
times.
Like, I don't want to feel, I don't have to deal with that. Yeah. I'm not dealing with that.
Because they asked him, if you are the Son of God, you are the Son of God, yep. He chose not to override what you said.
Yeah.
Like, he chose not to do that.
They offered to him the drink with the medicine and everything. They offered him, he declined.
He did not consider it a thing to be grasped. What?
That changes everything.
That has to change everything.
But a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people do not know this.
You're right.
They don't know that part of the Godhead.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this and you didn't know that, don't feel bad.
Right.
This is why you listen to this episode. Right. This is the reason you made it this far in this episode. You're like, I want to learn.
Yeah.
Right? Like, one thing about learning the things of God, you're never going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because somebody might know more or whatever, like, keep learning.
Right.
Don't let anybody make you feel like, oh, wow, I didn't. Like, this is why we're having this conversation, so that you can learn. Like, we've spent time in studying and reading and praying, and we learn, like, for you to be able to get that. And I heard this thing of Chandler Moore giving his word, and he was talking about a well.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of a well is, a well, especially back then, it could take very long time, weeks, months, even years, to build and dig a well.
Mm-hmm.
Something that took months, years to build, in a moment, you get to receive from.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, like, this podcast. This is why I have people on here. Right. We spent years like learning and praying and learning who God is, so that at any moment you can hear it and be like, wow, I know it.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's important to note too that it's only because of God that we did this. It's His grace. We need God to need God. Like, literally, it's not because we're that great of people, because we're not. It's literally in our nature to choose the world over Him.
Yeah.
So when I just think about, I mean, I always, like, the older I've gotten, the more mature in my walk, like, it literally blows my mind, because it's so easy to live a life not for Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so easy. And not only that, it's easy to be very lukewarm.
Yeah.
And so when I look at my upbringing, how I didn't grow up in church, that God literally pricked my heart, and not just get saved, but live for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's the grace of God. It has nothing to do with Tari. Like, that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. And I was in the world. Like, I was in the world.
Yeah.
So.
And it's, like you said, it's only the grace of God that allows us to receive God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I think about that all the time. Like, especially when I think about my upbringing. Like, I grew up in a Christian household. That was His grace.
Because
He knows me. He knew what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
He knows if I grew up in some worldly household, I might not have ever come to Him.
Mm-hmm.
So He knew me enough to say, these are your parents.
Mm-hmm.
This is the household you're going to grow up. These are the people you're going to meet. Like, this is grace.
Specifically for you, Lex, you've said this, it's the same grace, a different fit.
Yeah.
Like, He gave me what I needed.
Yeah.
Like, even though in the beginning of my faith, I was like, frustrated, honestly, because I didn't know the beginnings. I didn't know about Jonah and the whale. Like, I didn't know nothing, where I felt like everybody else knew these basic things.
Yeah.
And then I realized that the Lord gave me that intentionally. And it just looks different because He knew, like, He knew you before He formed you in your mother's womb. So, like, He knew what Kevin would need. He knew what Lex would need. He knew what Real would, like, He knew, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ah, that's good.
That's good.
So good.
So. This is crazy. So, let's go here. I just want to read the scripture. I'm just trying to show examples where we see all three at the same time. Acts chapter 2. Verse 33. I don't think I read this yet, did I?
Mm-mm.
All right. God has raised... I'm starting at 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it.
Mm-hmm.
Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you see, what you now see and hear.
Mm-hmm.
God has raised Jesus to life.
Mm-hmm.
The Father has raised the Son to life. And He exalted Jesus to the right hand of God. And He has received from the Father the Holy Spirit. So even Jesus received the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like he needed the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
come on.
Jesus, who is God, needed the Holy Spirit.
Come yeah. on,
crazy. You think you don't need the Holy Spirit?
It's crazy.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey. It's crazy. Crazy. Crazy.
You like, he was God.
Yeah.
If mm-hmm. any human being mm-hmm. on the face of this Ooh. Planet could ever be like,
nah,
I don't need that. And the Father promised his promised Holy Spirit, and he poured it like, go ahead, Lex, you better say something. This is crazy.
It is crazy.
This is like, when you think about it, it makes you think like, yo, the intentionality
mm-hmm.
and sovereignty of God, mm-hmm. that he created everything we needed before we even knew it.
Mm-mm-mm.
He created everything we needed before we were even created.
Yeah.
All things come from him,
mm-hmm.
including Holy Spirit.
What?
This is crazy.
That's wow. crazy. No, you saying that, just I was just thinking about just Jesus and who he is. And, you know, we just got done saying, like, even Jesus needed Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus needed Holy Spirit. And if we think about this, Jesus is perfect. Jesus was literally perfect. But if you think about it more, he was perfect because he was absent of sin.
Yeah.
And he needed Holy Spirit. And so sin separates us from God. And so we know that we can't be fully with God if we are in sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That doesn't mean that God like isn't present. But when sin is alive, or where sin is dwelling and living, God cannot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is why Jesus came and was able to live as a perfect God and man.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes back to what we said in John, not what we said, what God said.
Come on.
In John 1, verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind.
Yes. That's it.
Like, yeah. We can't make this up.
No. Yeah.
Make this up.
No.
In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind.
Yep.
Scripture will confirm itself, y'all. Ooh.
Yes, it will. It's living.
Like darkness and light can't exist. Mm-mm. So he had to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And just saying that, I hate for anybody to feel condemned.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. It's not to say that. And it's funny because I was kind of like in these scriptures earlier, which I'm so glad I grabbed my phone. But when we think about, like, just to give perspective and kind of give some grace language to that, like, you know, God can't be present where sin is and stuff like that. To give some kind of grace, you know, this is not saying that if you're someone who is struggling with something that God isn't near, God isn't there. Realist just got done saying, you know, that Holy Spirit is ever present.
Yeah.
So Holy Spirit is ever present. He is an ever present help. Yeah. God sent him as our ever present help. However, when there is the active life of sin, God cannot be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He can't dwell
active,
in
active unrepentant. Keep going.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, he cannot dwell and be there and be active as he is. So even if I break that down more and clarify a little more, okay, God is ever present. Holy Spirit is ever present. So if you are actively committing a sin, he is present, but his active love cannot be manifested. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like,
I feel like I'm going to confuse someone. This is to take away from any condemnation of someone feeling like, oh, because I'm in sin, now God just left me or something like that. Because that's not the case. And the scripture that you like to say, Romans chapter 7, verse 14, 15, 16, what are those? When Paul is explaining it. When it's, you know, when I do something I don't want to do, it's sin living in me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those give words to that.
Yeah. And so the thing is, yeah, what Lex is saying is don't feel like, oh, every time I sin, I do, you know, mm-hmm. I told a lie. God is no longer with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, like, the active presence of sin and the active presence of God are not going to be there at the same place. Because mm-hmm. God's like, well, I'm not going to be
right
where this sin, like, so if you're, what I'm saying is, if you're committing, if you're living a life of sin, you're not going to see God move the way you will when you decide to repent, to turn right. away from that sin, and to allow yourself to be a vessel used by him, and to be hot, like, for asking Holy Spirit to dwell in you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You will see a total difference.
Yeah. And to dwell in you is when he becomes alive where the sin once was living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good. So good.
Everybody, hallelujah. take a deep breath.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And to also give people more of like a just insight as to where we are. We're sitting here. I've been looking at an iPad for this whole episode, like looking at scripture. So you can hear it and be like, wow, they know everything. Like, no, I literally sat here before the episode finding scriptures that would help us guide this episode. It's not like, you know, the goal is to know the word as much as possible, but I'm not going to sit here and act like this just come out of my brain. Like, right. There's a work that you have to do when learning who God is.
Yeah.
And not just that, but the passion that we speak with.
Yeah.
And on this whole episode is built up over experience over time.
Yeah.
Experiences take time.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, you know, the way you believe, not oftentimes, every time, the way you believe changes when you know and have experienced too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh. All right, y'all. I gotta stop because this I know us. We'll be in here 2 hours.
Keep going. Seriously. We will keep going.
So we're gonna wrap it. People. God loves you enough that he created a form of himself that would come live a perfect life, live a life that you couldn't live, and die a death that you deserved so that you could have everlasting life with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What?
Right.
That's crazy. So if you're listening to this and you're not saved, one, we have a whole episode on salvation, but we don't even right now, like, if you're listening to this, all you have to do is to be saved is repent, to say, God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, I repent, I turn to you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you were raised on the third day. And because of this, you are saved. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Some of you are like, I don't know if I'm really saved. I've been doing this sin. Romans 10:9.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:16, Romans 10:9. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. That's all you have to do. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I want to feel how they feel. And you like, if you haven't accepted Jesus, do it right now. You don't know if you're going to live another second.
Yeah.
You literally, I could blink and you could be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't wait. Don't be like, I don't know. I got to be super spiritual like them. No, we could all walk you through our stories and journeys and tell you that we did not grow. We wasn't just born and poof, like this is a process.
Mm-hmm.
But the process starts with you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So
it's still a process.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, it's literally a process until we die.
Very real. So yeah, I'm going to just pray us out. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your provision, God. Even in yourself, you created provision. Even in the Trinity, you've created provision. You've created everything we need. You've created a father. You've created a friend. You've created a savior. You've created a helper. Everything that we need, a deliverer, a provider. Everything we need, you've created. And so we just say thank you. Thank you for being everything we need. Thank you for the fact that we don't have to run to the things of the world. Thank you to the fact that we don't have to run to witchcraft and tarot cards and things like that, because there's nothing that you can't help us with. There's no amount of questions that we can have that you can't answer. There's no amount of fear that we can have that you can't deliver us from, Lord. And so we just say thank you for being God. Thank you for being you. Thank you for being greater than we could ever even understand. Thank you for being all that we needed, even before we needed it. Thank you for being what we needed when we didn't even want you to be that, Lord. Mm-hmm. And God, we just say thank you for the fact that you love us unconditionally, that you've created a way for us to spend eternity with you. And that is your goal, for us to love you the way you love us, and for us to spend eternity with you, God. And so I pray that each and every person listening to this will spend eternity with you, will accept you as their Lord and Savior, will say, what must I do to be saved if they're not already? And those that are, that they would just continue to walk it out and to continue to point other people to you, that they would just, as they walk, they would grab out and reach people and say, let's all be with the Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus in eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.